Dawes, along with Timothy Schaefer of Kansas State University with the National Institute for Civil Discourse. You've written a book recently.
Yeah,
it's getting a little bit of attention.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming this summer. It's called Deliberative Pedagogy, which is this. As soon as I say that, people are like, "Oh, what's that?" And so the short way of saying it is, it's this volume. We've got a lot of folks who have contributed to it. It's an edited book, but it's people who are primarily university-based, who teach and research around kind of engagement, all the things that we talk about, but particularly this approach of how do we create space in classrooms as well as communities to have conversations about kind of complex issues and to do so in a way that allows people to tease out the complexity. So back to the point of what we were talking about with politics earlier, the localization of issues all of a sudden moves you from just these camps that kind of maybe lock you into certain things. And so, the kind of deliberative process helps you tease out like, well, yeah, I like that, but there's a trade-off to that. And here's a tension over here. So you're kind of weighing things a little differently than just saying, yes, I'm left, I'm right, I'm down the middle. It kind of frames it a little differently. So yeah, so that will be published. Michigan State University Press is going to put it out, and we're really excited about it. We hope that have some conversations around universities and conferences around the country. We have part of the book. I mean, going back to the international piece, part of this book has authors from the U.S., but also from South Africa, Argentina, Israel, Australia. So we've got a lot of perspectives. Russia, we've got a lot of perspectives on what can and can't happen, and some of the challenges in that kind of situation.
Interesting. We do have a phone call. Well, let's go ahead and take that call and welcome to In Focus with Timothy Schaefer. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'd like to have Timothy respond to the problem we have currently, where civil discourse is not being promoted by the very institutions, universities and colleges, that should be leading the fight. For example, overwhelmingly, they will accept visitors or speakers who speak from the Democratic or left side, but not from the right side.
Yeah, sorry, are you going to say more there?
Yeah.
No, is that good? Yeah, no, thanks. I mean, I think you've highlighted a really important issue, and this has been really hot. I mean, there's been some high-profile individuals. Ann Coulter is the most recent one at UC Berkeley. There was question about, when and where she was going to speak, and she was disinvited and now reinvited again, and it's all these sorts of things. And I think to your point, this is a significant issue. And universities, one of the things that made me love going to a university and made me stick around and why I'm still hanging around them now is that they are places where you can have really robust conversation and disagreement. And surprisingly, it's not all kind of left-leaning kind of professors. But, I mean, one of the realities is that if people don't feel like they can have discussions and their viewpoints can be heard and having that kind of discourse, that's a real disservice, not only to that university, but, to all of us. Universities are one of these kind of places where ideally this place of free speech is supposed to happen. And if I think what you say is garbage, then what you say is maybe garbage, but I'm not going to inhibit your ability to say that. And so I think we're really really struggling with how do we navigate the tensions between, who are these people and what are they saying, with how do we allow everything to kind of have open and free discourse. And I actually lean more in the way of let people say what they're going to say, whether it's amazing and brilliant or if it's demeaning and awful. And we need to have that spectrum and let people kind of make their voices be heard.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the activities with the state legislature. Primarily, there's been budget issues and we're at a standstill there.
Right, right.
But concealed carry is one that really has K-State students in an uproar.
Yeah, not so much this semester. We've been working on a different issue, but for the last three semesters, I have worked on convening public forums on concealed handgun issues at K-State, and we actually created resources for conversation. I mean, to the point of the caller, to have the ability for people to have some conversation across the spectrum, and not just saying, if you're, you know, if you're on this side, you're going to take these positions. If you're on this side, you're going to take some other ones. But to really kind of get people out some of those spaces. And so we had folks walking in with their NRA sweatshirts on. And then we also had people who, you know, said Bernie or bust. And all of a sudden we created an environment. And this is one of the things that our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy at K-State has done a really good job with, is we have some principles for discourse. And every public conversation, there's a handful of bullet points that we say, like, we're going to respect diversity of viewpoints. We're going to allow people to speak. We're going to support what we say with claims. And that can mean with, you know, factual information, but also kind of experience. So as we go back to the Kanza Prairie conversation, like, we can speak about the things we care about, and that should be valued and kind of recognized. And so something that can really help with a lot of these conversations is actually creating an environment where we kind of play by the same rules. If we just kind of yell back and forth, so back to the point of the caller, if we're just kind of yelling at each other and we're just screaming or protesting, there's a time and a place for that. But we also need places for those kinds of conversations to happen and to wrestle with the complexity that, you know, there's, I tell it often, there was one student who at the beginning of the semester was just like, yeah, I grew up with guns. Guns are just, you know, I've got him in my truck, all this kind of stuff. This is just how he lives. And at the end of the semester, he's like, well, you know, I thought more about this, and maybe it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for our rec center to have guns, or maybe. And he started naming a couple places that at the beginning he wouldn't have kind of put it that way. But he teased out the issues that he's like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I was like, well, no, maybe not. And so it's important to be able to have some of those kinds of conversations. And I think that's where this idea of, you know, ideally state legislators, these legislative bodies are to be deliberative bodies. So back to the title of the book, this kind of deliberative process, we're just not real good at that. So trying to help kind of foster and sustain those types of conversations is really important.
As a former debate speech person, there's always two sides to every question, sometimes even more than two sides, quite frankly.
And that's actually one of the really rich things of kind of using this deliberative process, is that it at least moves it beyond kind of this kind of either or framing. Just in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. as part of a project called A Public Voice. The Kettering Foundation hosts it. And it's a national conversation. People from across the country who've been organizing conversations on a particular issue. And for this year, it's this the one I was mentioning earlier, the safety and justice issue of how do we address violence in our communities. And, you know, that those materials always frame at least three different options, and they're not easy to peg of what kind of ideological position they are, and which within each of them are always tensions and trade-offs. And so it's, you can't just wholeheartedly, or you're very challenged to just wholeheartedly get on board with one thing. There's always something in there. You're like, well, I'd prefer not to be that. And that's, I think, one of the really important things is to recognize that, you know, things are complex. We have this term, we call them wicked problems. You know, you don't easily solve them. You maybe ameliorate them a bit. You make them a little better. But once you, maybe this isn't the best image, but when you push on one side, something's going to kind of bulge out the other, right? So you got to figure out, you know, what are the things, if we choose to take this step, what might be a repercussion, or what something's going to happen? Well, we need to talk about that, or else we're going to get really limited in our viewpoints, and we're going to get stuck in the places that we are. And you know, bringing some of this conversation for full circle is that, you know, that's where I think we're limited right now, is that we're not having those conversations with people. We're not teasing out the realities that the issues that I might believe in are maybe limited, or the views that I have on something are not as broad or inclusive as maybe I thought they were. So it's really important to listen to other people and say, hey, oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And we're out of time.
And here we are.
So end of May, we'll aim again to have you on at some point.
That would be great.
Figure out a designated time, maybe. And again, we've had Timothy Schaefer with us today, Kansas State University. Some fascinating discussions with the National Institute for Civil Discourse. You're also a researcher and part of that. You've been listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
Now you can easily deposit checks from the KS State Bank iPhone and Android apps with free mobile deposit. KS State Bank, member FDIC, KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. President Trump is touting a pet project as he and lawmakers begin the push for a budget deal to try to prevent a government shutdown. Live to the White House.